We are coming to the end of the time frame here. Some of you will be trickling out of here. But I think it is very necessary for you to know that God is doing something indelibly. That He is working and writing something on the tables of some of your hearts. And when you walk out that door, you are going to find everything in the world breaking loose. To try to divert you, to try to subvert you, to try to get you to fall back into your old familiar ruts. Hallelujah. And you and I have a responsibility not to be persuaded to do that. We have to remember that God has met us here at this time. That God has walked in the midst of us. And that the Word of God has been implanted, impregnated within our soul. And we have to work on the environment of that soul. Like a farmer would work on the ground that he's going to plant the seed in. We have to make it fertile. We have to make it conducive to what it is that is in it. We have to fertilize it. We have to water it. We have to nurture it. Hallelujah. One thing to come here to receive, to rejoice, to dance, to clap, to hear the Word of God. Hallelujah. Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Especially in that day. Hallelujah. And that day is the day we're living in. We are the living testimonies of the prophecy of Daniel. We are the living testimonies of the prophecy of John in Revelation. Hallelujah. You and I are those living prophecies. Praise the Lord. And we have to be diligent to make our calling and election sure. And brethren, I don't know about you, but I do not want heaven disappointed in me. Hallelujah. I have heaven all around me, looking at me, watching me, and looking at what is going on in my life, how I am overcoming and how I am receiving the Word of God and what I am doing with it. I do not want to disappoint them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I want to tell you something that I was made aware of this morning as I was arising from my bed. And that is that God is working something in Africa. Hallelujah. Amen. Africa has been referred to in times past in many different circumstances as the dark continent. Hallelujah. God wants to change that perception. Hallelujah. God wants to change that perception. And God is changing it because the Word of God is going out of your tabernacle. Hallelujah. Not your church fellowships necessarily. Not your positions of our place of fellowship and relationship, but in the world. It is the world to whom we must testify that we are one. Not one with each other, but one with God. As we are one with God, God brings the oneness on the lower level. Praise the Lord. But our hearts have to be right before God. And if your heart is right, and if you're seeking after the kingdom of God in your heart, in your soul, hallelujah, then God will use you in this redemption of Africa. Hallelujah. Because, brethren, Africa in itself is a natural arena. It's a natural place with natural people. But God, in God's kingdom, it has no borders. There are no borders. Hallelujah. And, you know, we like to look at humanity as different races. There's only one race. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? There's only one race. And that race originated in a man called Adam. So we can trace our lineage all the way back to Adam. And I am your brother. You are my brother. You are my sister. You are my mother. You are my father. All of these aspects of the kingdom because of the fact that we are born again. Hallelujah. And this particular verse was sent to me this morning by a dear sister. And I believe that is the word of God. It says that the Lord God reigneth to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. And it is in fact the story that God is writing with us as pens and epistle on paper, on papers of flesh and blood. Do you hear me? You are the tablet on which God is writing this testimony, that as the Lord God reigneth from the ends of the earth, you are that testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not somebody who stands up here and expounds the scriptures to you. It is to facilitate you, yes. It is to help you, yes. But you have the responsibility. You have the accountability. You have the position of having to do what you have to do about your position with God and the environment that you live in. Praise the Lord. So this word is a prophetic word. It is a prophetic word to you as a people. Hallelujah. As one of the people of God's house. Hallelujah. We have to stop thinking in the entirety of I'm from this, I'm River State, I'm of this state, of that state, of that state, I'm of this tribe, that tribe, that tribe. Those things are no longer relevant in God's economy. If you want to be moved out, hang on to it. If you want to be excluded, hang on to it. If you don't want the blessing of what it is God wants, hang on to it. It's yours to possess. You can have it. Hello? But if you choose that, you are choosing something other than what it is that God, hallelujah, is offering you today. And brethren, you may not get another chance. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? You may not get another chance. Hallelujah. So it's important for us to understand the ramifications of what it is and where we are and what it is that God is doing. Can we sing? Hallelujah. For the Lord God reigneth. I'm glad we found it. From the ends of the earth, we declare His. You have to go out of here and declare His glory. Hello? Are you hearing me?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Let us sing it. As a word, as a prophecy, as a prayer, as an intercession, as a travail. Hallelujah. To your own soul. Hallelujah. You're going to prophesy to your own soul. Hallelujah, for the Lord God reigneth to the end of my earth. Do you hear me? is going to rage in your mind, in your emotions. It's going to rage in your desires, and your will is going to be submitted to the process. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the end of my earth, I declare your glory. Hallelujah. You are saying, devil, I am rebuking you. I am coming against your position of inheritance. I am coming against your position of familiarity. I am coming against every aspect of bondage that is upon me because of my blood lineage, because of my tribal affiliation, because of the heart of the country in which I live in. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. This is a prophetic exercise. Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. God is here to touch you. Hallelujah. And you are about to loose the forces of heaven against the forces of hell. Hallelujah. 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 And as you sing this one, I'm going to paraphrase it. Hallelujah. For his righteousness shall shine in me. Hello. Hello. Say it. His righteousness. Uh-oh. You don't really mean it, do you? You really don't mean it, do you? You're tired. You're thinking about going home. Hallelujah. You're hot. You're sweaty. It's uncomfortable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's say it. For his righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. As the stars of the sky. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing it. Let's prophesy it. Let's pray it. Let's move with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm going to give you one more chance. You've lost something from yesterday today. You've lost some spiritual energy. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're saying, but you've lost some spiritual energy. Hallelujah. I think your bucket has a hole in it. Hallelujah. Okay, there it is. Just leave the course there. We're not going to the rest of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the end of the earth. We want the course. The course only. Hallelujah. All right. You got one more chance to redeem yourself. All right, come on, let's sing it. Let's sing it. All right. I want you to follow me. Yeah, you're going to sing, but I want you to follow me. All right? You follow me. You have to look at me very closely. You got to listen to me very closely. Because I don't want you, if I stay on the word, I want you to stay there. Hello? You hear me? Hallelujah. All right. Let's go. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus. We want to come because of your Son and the gracious gift of life that He has given to us by the authority that is invested in us by virtue of our new birth. Oh my God, you gave us liberty. You gave us life in the place of death. You gave us beauty in the place of ashes. You gave us joy in the place of grief and sadness. Hallelujah! Father, we proclaim your glory. We proclaim it in our hearts. We proclaim it in our soul. We proclaim it by the word of God today. That thou art preeminent. Thou art sovereign. That thou art the Lord of lords. My God, in the name of Jesus. We just submit ourselves to you today. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I wonder where our erasers are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, it has been a privilege for me to be here this time frame, and I'm very much aware of the moving of God in my life. I'm very much aware of the things that He is bringing out on the surface. Things that have to be corrected. Things that have to be changed. Hallelujah. Things that have to be indelibly erased. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. That they no longer come to my mind. That they're no longer in my soul like little nagging things that pick away at my position of confidence in the reality of who God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, we're coming into a time frame, brethren, that we have to know God individually. One day, somewhere along the line, each and one, every one of us are going to be caught in a situation where we do not have the ability to call somebody for help. where we don't have the ability to reach out to something that would succor or save us, or to give us confidence, or give us a sense of assurity. The only thing that we are going to be able to rely on is the position of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and the reality of Him, and the reality of the fact that He is more real than my circumstance. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to think about your life circumstances. I want you to think about the many things that you find yourself involved in. If it is a physical thing, if it's a body thing, if you have as minor as a headache is God greater reality than the headache? Hello? Hallelujah. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Is it God a greater reality than the headache? If you are in a place where you are in need of some assistance and you are praying God for deliverance, maybe your car is stranded out there somewhere in the dark on a back road in Nigeria somewhere. Hallelujah. And you're there by yourself. You're no cell phone. No nothing. Is God greater? Is God bigger? Is He more real to you than the fact of your dire circumstances and the insecurity that you might feel? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's how real God has to be. That's the position of relationship. You can't get that by just coming and sitting and hearing somebody talk about God. Hallelujah. We talk a lot about God. We know a lot about God. Hallelujah. But knowing about God is not knowing God. Knowing about God is something different than knowing God. Hallelujah. And what I know about God is not going to conflict with the Bible. Do you hear me? Nor is it going to conflict with the aspect of this word that we have here concerning I need a pen, or somebody needs to open this one for me. Hallelujah. We need a reality. We need a position of relationship. We need the reality of God, that He is just as well, just as great to me, just as real to me as a brother is sitting right there in the chair reading his Bible. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how real that I have to know Him. I have to know Him that way. You know, we are church people. We are church theology. We have church relationship. We come together. We meet. We conjugate. Hallelujah. And we fellowship with one another. And we then we go out the door. Hallelujah. And that's about it. Hello? Oh, you may think about God a little bit. You may stir you a little bit. The word may have come. But it's not a word that, it is not a position or a place to where we get down into the scriptures. We get down into the word. We get down to find the reality of what it is that we were told about God. Hello? Hallelujah. There's a consequence to it. Do you hear me? There's a consequence to it. It works death in our circumstance. It works death in our being. It works death in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Hello? It's a scriptural principle, you know. Hallelujah. Do you remember the story of Onan? Hello? Do you remember who Onan was? Hello? What was his father's name? Hallelujah. Huh? It was, no? It was who? Nobody knows. Hallelujah. I think it was Judah. You don't know. You don't know. Well, I didn't hear that. I'm talking about the rest of them. Hallelujah. And it's more prophetic than you think. Hello? Because the scepter of authority, the scepter of righteousness, was transferred from who? From who? From who was it transferred? It was transferred, you don't know. It was transferred from the house of Levi. They had the responsibility of the tabernacle. They had the responsibility of all of the accoutrements and all of the things that went into the tabernacle. It was Levi. Hello? They had the responsibility for the service in the they had the responsibility of the service in the sanctuary. They had the responsibility of the service. Hallelujah. And the scepter of righteousness was transferred by the prophecy of Jacob over his son to Judah. He transferred the authority at that time. But you did not see that transfer until David came along. And then God stepped in to ratify the prophet's word. Hello? Did you hear me? God stepped into God's business and he wanted to ratify the word. So he sent Samuel to the house of Jesse. Hello? And there was one in the house of Jesse who had a heart which was after God. Do you know what makes you of the house of Judah? It is a heart that makes you after God. To thirst after the reality of a living God. If you do not thirst, if you do not hunger, if you do not desire above all and anything, you are not yet included in that house of Jesse. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe you are. Maybe you're one of the first, was it eight? Or seven? That was eight, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. This is Bible study time. How many were there? How many sons of Jesse? Eight. And that included David, right? And he went through the first seven. Hello? Hallelujah. Seven is a number of perfection. Perfection was not found in the first seven. Hello? So there's a house of Judah and then there's a house that is a house of Judah. Hello? Seven is the number of perfection. David was the eighth son. That's the number of new beginnings. Hallelujah. So it was a new era. It was a new beginning. And if you want to look at it in this respect, it was a time of fullness that had come, and we were now going in the next administration of dispensation of God's position of glory and passing of the scepter of authority. Hello? Yeah. Hallelujah. Whereas that Paul wrote concerning the house of Judah, he says, of which house you are. Isn't it Paul that said that? Hallelujah. You know, you need to get back into your Bibles. Hello? You need to get back into your Bibles. You need to be listening to these stories. There's stories of you. There's stories of me. There's stories of the place and the things that we are living in. There's an appointment that is given to us. But if we don't read the manual, hello? Hallelujah. Amen. I once had a person that was working for me out on the farm. And we had one of these little hand tractors, you know. It was a new one that we had just bought. And they were trying to figure out something, and I had sent them to do a job, with that device, and I noticed down the road that they weren't out there doing that job. Huh? So I went looking for them. I think God is coming and he's looking for us. Hello? Hallelujah. God is coming and he's looking for us. He's knocking on our doors. Hallelujah. God is knocking on our doors. Don't you hear the knocking of God? Hallelujah. It says God will come and knock when he that opens what? I will what? I will come in. And what will I do? I will sup with them. I'll sit down at the table. I'll have a meal with you. And I will pass the time talking to you about my Father's business. Hallelujah. And you know, brethren, it's not just you as a people. It is a holy place mentality. It is a holy place dilemma. It is a holy place malady. It's a holy place. It's a holy place disease, and it's called spiritual apathy. It's called spiritual apathy, brother. Ezzy, do you have a cure for spiritual apathy in your laboratory? Huh? Can I come and get a shot so I can cure this aspect of my apathy? What do I have to do? Hello? Do I need to be moved to intensive care? I think so. Hello? I need to be put up on a monitor. God is monitoring us, you know. Hello? Hallelujah. And God is now sending the prophetic word to the house of Judah. Yeah? It's a prophetic word. Do you know that? It's a word of calling. Oh, I see this one. He's big. He's strong. He's got the word memorized, and he's moving in the aspect of strength and vitality. His form, his figure is so robust and strong. This surely must be the one. God said, no, 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 no. Hello? He's looking at our church form. He's looking at our church aspect, our church presentation. He says, no. That isn't what I want. Because God doesn't look on the outside. Build your mega buildings. Build your mega churches. Build your congregation as big as you want. Get on TV. Splash them all over the world. Hello? But at the end of the day, God says, no. That's not what I want. He's going to brush it aside. And anybody that's caught up in it is going to be brushed away with it. Hello? That's why God said, come out of her, my people, and touch not the unclean things. What, least what? Ye become a partaker of her plagues. Hello? Hallelujah. We thought that that was for that out-of-court church out there. Hello? Hallelujah. But the call to God to us is also, rise up, my people. Rise up, and flee to the mountain. Yeah. Hello? Fleeing to the mountain. Fleeing to the mountain is indicative of a position of personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We've heard Zion mentioned several times during the last few days, right? Or did you hear it? Did you hear it? Or am I the only one here? Zion. Huh? Hallelujah. Am I the only one that heard it? We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion. You're just sitting there looking at me. What happened between last night and this morning? You know what it's like, brethren? I'm just telling you what I see in the spirit. Do you know what it's like? You have this, what do they call this stuff? It's this grape juice that's bubbly, bloodly, fizzy. Huh? Huh? It's fruit juice, but it's a particular. They got it wrapped up to look like a bottle of champagne. Whatever it is, it's fruit juice, but they make it look like champagne. Isn't that funny? Hallelujah! 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 What happens when you take the top off of it and leave it set on the table overnight? You know what happens? It's flat. Flat, flat, flat. Hello? Hallelujah. And that's what it seems like with you this morning. You're tired or something. I don't know. But you seem to have lost some spiritual energy. How many of you heard God before you got out of bed this morning? Hallelujah. You know, when I woke up this morning, I heard God calling a man's name. Hello? I heard God calling a man's name. And it was calling a man's name as though wanting to get in touch with him, wanting to get his attention. Oh, I could have laid there in bed and I could have said, oh my goodness, it's too early. Oh, I don't want to get out of bed yet. Oh my goodness, it's too early. No. I'm saying, what did you say, God? What was that? And I got out of my bed and I went to my computer and I began to contact the person and tell them that I had heard their name. I not only did that, but I have this global network of prayer warriors. I got a global network. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you hear? I got a global network of prayer warriors. I just type right into my scene and it sends it out all over the world. Hallelujah. They are in connection with you. They're praying for you. You hear me? Hello? One of the reasons that we are having the success that we are having in the spirit, and believe you me, we're decimating the house of hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the reasons that we have that power, that faith, that ability is because people are praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? It makes us connected. That means that we not only have the heavenly host, but there are many that are tapping into us, and there are many that are in prayer, in the spirit, with us. Hello? Listening to this word, praying for themselves as well as for you. They are a part of this congregation. You don't see them, but they're here. Hello? Hallelujah. We need to become so sensitive in the spirit. We need to become so diverse in the spirit that as we sit there, we are cognizant of their presence. Hello? Come on, Brother Ann. Hello? We are talking about an omnipotent, omnipotent, omniscient God. Do you hear me? All powerful, all knowing, and everywhere at the same place, at the same time. That means as I'm standing here, God is standing here. Hello? That means He's standing there in the United States. Hello? It means He's standing there in Germany. It means He's standing there in Czech Republic. It means He's standing over there somewhere down there in Congo. Hello? Hello? Somewhere over there in Sierra Leone. He's standing there. He sees what's going on. He knows what's going on in Central Africa. Hallelujah. He's there and here. And He should be able to talk to us. We should be about the church's business. We should be working in the Spirit to tear down those kingdoms, to tear down those positions, those places, hallelujah, that are fortified by hell against the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you are God's secret weapon. You're not secret anymore, unfortunately. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or I should say maybe fortunately. Hallelujah. You're not secret anymore. Hallelujah. God knows who you are. And you want to know something else? The devil knows who you are. In fact, the devil knows more about you than you know about yourself. Hello? He knows the threat that you are to his kingdom. And whether you do anything about it or not, you are still a threat. Hello? No matter how much he ties you up, you are still a threat. You know why you want it? You are a threat? Because you have something inside of your soul. And under the right set of circumstances, that something can germinate. And if that something germinates, hello? Hallelujah. It will begin to grow. And if it grows, he's in trouble. Hallelujah. So he has to eliminate you. The devil has to eliminate every one of you who has this word within you. Hello? Makes no difference what you're doing with it, my brother. Whether you are moving with God or you're just sitting on it. Hallelujah. Amen. It makes no difference. I'd rather be brought down for doing something than for sitting on it. Hallelujah. 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 My safety, my position, my place of security is not in what I know. My place, my position of security is in where I am with Him at that time. Hallelujah. If God be for us, hallelujah, who can be against us? Greater is He that is in me. Oh, big words, big words, big words. But those big words, those spiritual words, have to be put to a test. And what am I going to do in the aspect of that test? Am I going to yield to my humanity? Am I going to yield to the thought that I've been programmed with because of the darkness that is in me? Hello? Hallelujah. That God is a liar? You know, you're programmed to believe that God is a liar. Did you know that? Your humanity in Adam is programmed to believe that God is a liar. Hello? Because when the devil stood with Eve in the garden, he wasn't just talking and passing time. Hello? The devil knew the reality of words. God knew, the devil knew the reality and the strength of the word. And he knew the reality of Eve's living soul. Did you hear me?
Yes.
He knew the reality of that living soul. And those words and that soul can produce something. Hello? You think our computer programming is something new? Hallelujah. It's a God principle. That's how your brain works. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Your brain is programmed in a certain way to do certain things without you even knowing it. Hello? That's why when you have an email and you program it to say, I'm out of the office, won't be back for another 2 weeks if you can't contact somebody else, blah, 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 blah. You're not even there. You don't even know it. Hello? You've programmed your computer. Somebody sends you an email. Bang! Right out goes that. I'm not here message. I'm out to lunch. And unfortunately, all of us are out to lunch with God. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you hear me? We're out to lunch with God. You know, I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because the person who's involved in it is here. The persons that were involved are here. I was in Sierra Leone, praise the Lord. I was in Brother Vivian's and Sister Geraldine's house. And I want to tell you, I was there by myself in this particular visit, I believe. Hallelujah. Wasn't I there by myself? I was. Hallelujah. And I was having one hellacious experience. I mean, I don't know what it is about God that he thinks I need to go to hell all the time. Hallelujah. But I broke into their secret network. Do you understand? I broke into it. God got me in there. There was something there that God got a prophet. Where did he get a prophet? Oh, he took him into the inner chamber, didn't he? He took him there. See what the house of Israel is doing. Hello, hallelujah. I just thought about that, but that's enough. But I was there, and I was having one experience after another, one experience after another, one experience after another. And you know, God, the devil was attacking me in my body. Hallelujah. At that particular time, I had a particular problem with my back. And when I woke up in that morning, I could not get out of bed. I'm telling you, I was almost paralyzed with pain. The only way I was able to get out of the bed was to roll off onto the floor. Hello? Hallelujah. And then work my way up on my hands and knees and pull myself up with the bedstead. The little head of the bed that was there. But that wasn't the worst of it. God was taking me into these places. He was showing me the works of the devil. He was taking me into the inner working of the devil's devil factory. Hello? Hallelujah. I was in the war room. Hello? Seeing the mechanics of how it is they are work. I've shared it and shared it and shared it and shared it and shared it. And I don't know that anybody's... He really took it to of any consequence. But brother, I've taken it to mind. I've taken it to heart. Hello? Hallelujah. So in this particular morning, after this particular experience, I get out of bed and I said to God, God, I'm losing my mind. I don't know if you've ever had such experiences. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in such a place. But I said, God, I'm losing my mind. I'm losing touch with reality. Hallelujah. I must be going through some sort of psychosis or something. Whatever psychosis is. Huh? Oh my God. I'm telling you, I was serious and I cried out to God, do something. I needed my feet on stable ground. And I got a phone call. I'm in Sierra Leone. They didn't call me. They called Sister Geraldine. Hallelujah. Wanting to talk to me. Hello? Hallelujah. They called me at that precise moment. I get a knock on my door. Hallelujah. I open it. Sister Geraldine goes like this. Hands me the phone. You remember that, dear? Huh? And I'm looking. And she said, Sister Beery wants to talk to you. I said, Sister Beery? She's in Kinshasa. No, were you in Kinshasa or were you in the other place? She was somewhere else. Hello? And she begins to tell me a dream, and it's the same dream I just came out of. Hallelujah. That's how it's supposed to work. No cell phone, no internet, no nothing. Hello? It is a people that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they are praying. They are tugged in. They are in touch. They are moving as one people under the Spirit of the omnipresent God. Hello? Peace! Peace! When it says they have not entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for them, God was serious. It has not entered into our mind. I can be here someplace else at the same time. Hello? I was in Germany, and we stopped at a little rest stop to get something to eat and to fill up with fuel. I get out of my car, and as I'm walking in, there's this woman walking out of the door. And my God, she's the spitting image of another woman I know in the States. I mean, the way she's dressed, the way she walks, the way she looks, the color of her hair, even the skin texture and her eyes. And I'm looking at her and I'm saying, is that so-and-so? Is that? And I almost went up to her to see. Huh? But I followed her a little bit looking at her. I'm just glad they didn't see me. They would have had me arrested. Hallelujah. Where am I? I'm in Germany, but I'm back in the States. I'm seeing something going on. I have a responsibility. I have to stop. Oh my God. Loose the power of heaven on the behalf of this person. My God, move, 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 move. Hallelujah. Bind those spirits that are wanting to oppress. Bind those spirits that are wanting to deceive. Bind, 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 bind. Loose. Hallelujah. Oh, no, we just come in and sit down in our church, read our Bible, close it up, and go out the door. Hello? That is not the way it's supposed to be. That is not the concept of what it is that God is building. God is building a body. There are certain functions. It says every portion has a part and a piece, and there is something that that portion does. Now, I don't know what it is in my body that tells the rest of my body that I need to look where I'm walking or if I'm stepping, what my hands are doing. But there is a program in there that works automatically. I don't think about, maybe I do now that I'm a little older, but I watch my grandkids. They jump off of chairs, they jump off of roofs, they jump out of trees. My God. To be so agile, to be so flexible, to be so unbreakable. Hallelujah. 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 And I cannot tell you how many times when I have been in dire necessity of the help of God, how somebody somewhere around the world was praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We are talking about a level of operation that is foreign to us. And we're not only that, it's not only foreign to us, brethren, it is out of our scope of understanding. We cannot comprehend it. We can't figure it out. We can't make some thought of adjustment to make it work in the way that we think it should work. The only thing that makes it work is a relationship. I have to be in contact with the head constantly. You know, I don't know. I think my little toe is always talking to my head. Did you hear me? There's something about your feet, and you correct me if I'm wrong, brother. There's something about your feet that helps to maintain your equilibrium. I don't know. They're sensors. Is that what you said? Huh? They're like trance receivers, right? They receive and they send. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Some of you are transceivers in the body of Christ. And you know something? Those transceivers are necessary. Those little segments of sensors that receive and send, they are necessary. If something stops in my foot, I am in trouble. Devil doesn't like it. Hallelujah. You know, if they stop working, I'm in trouble. I start stumbling, I start tripping, I start walking on my own feet. Hello? I start losing my balance. Hello? And there's something in all of that has to do with getting older, too. I'm not quite sure I have figured it out yet, but I'm going to be delivered from it. Amen. You seem to lose your sense of security. You seem to lose your sense of balance. You seem to lose your strength and your vitality. You seem to lose that mentality that you're instructable. Suddenly, I become destructible. I'm fragile. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the way the devil wants me to think about my body. That's the devil that wants me to think about church. Get out of church. Forget church. Amen. Hallelujah. Bring the wrecking crew in. Dismantle it. Bring the bulldozer in. Bulldoze it down. Hello. Amen. Hallelujah. Some things take drastic measures. Some things take drastic action. Hallelujah. When you're in a house that is on fire, you don't stop to figure out what it is you're going to carry with you. Hallelujah. I've been in places where somebody yelled fire. They may grab the most important thing. Hallelujah. I've seen people walk out in their underwear carrying their little bubby, the little doggy. Hallelujah. The doggy was more important to them than their underwear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God is saying, fire! Here. God is saying, fire! Right here. There's a fire! Fire, fire, fire! Flee! Hallelujah. That's what God is saying. We go out and it's business as usual. We have plans, we have things, we have certain ideas, and we just continue to do those ideas. And I'm not telling you not to continue to do them. Get down into fasting and praying until you hear from God. If God says stay, stay. If God says leave, leave. Don't leave because I tell you to leave. Don't leave because I tell you of the calamity that's coming. You have to believe in the calamity and begin to look for the escape hatch. Hello? And the escape captain is not being ejected out of that holy place. It is fleeing. Fleeing, fleeing to God. Fleeing, fleeing means you run to the mountain. Hallelujah. It says, let he that upon the roof, what? Not go down to get what it is that is in the house. He that is in the field, what? Do not return to your business. He's talking about me. He's talking about you. He's talking about all of those aspects of what it is that we are involved in as far as life. Some of you guys are planning your futures way out in front of you. Hallelujah. I asked the person what they were going to do and with their future, and they were telling me they're telling me all of their plans. And you know, they had school laid out for 7 years. I don't believe we got 7 years. What are you going to do 2 years down the road and you find out that 7 years isn't going to happen? Huh? If God says stay, God says do, stay, do, and go. Hello? But you need to touch God's garment. You need to touch God's hem. Hallelujah. What does it say? Don't say that I'm going to go and do this tomorrow, and don't say that I will do this, do this and this and this. What does it say? If it is God's will. Oh, yeah. So we go and say, well, if it's God's will, I'm going on. I'm going to ask you, sister, is it God's will? Has God spoke to you? Has God given you a word? And then you have to tell me, yes, God has spoken. I say, praise God, I release you to that word. Hello? 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 You tell me God said, and I'll leave God to you and you to God. Because God says, he that saith God said, and God saith not. Woe unto them. That means God is going to bring correction into your life. It's not whether I believe you or not. Hello? And if you believe it, then I can pray for you. God, I want to know, and I want them to know. I want them to understand the reality of what they're doing. Did you speak this word? And if you did not speak this word, bring that word to them that they might be corrected. I finished my job. Do you hear me? I finished my job. I don't have to convince you. I don't have to pound you. I don't have to scold you. I don't have to coerce you, push you, pull you, whatever. My job is done. Hallelujah. And I can go on to the next thing. Hello? Do you hear me? And you know what? That just relieves me of a lot of trouble. Oh, no, it really doesn't. I still get in trouble. But it relieves me of a lot of things that I don't need to be tied up, that I can go on to other things. Hallelujah. You have come for a reason. You have come for a purpose. You have come to hear the word of God in your life concerning what it is that God has for you as an individual, as a person, as an old person, as a young person, as a middle-aged person, whatever age, as a baby, a very young person. Hello, you have come. You got plans. Brother, take them plans and put them on the altar. You got plans. Put them on the altar. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Put them on the altar and let the fire of God fall on it. Amen. It says every man's works will shall be what? Proved by fire. Hello, I'm challenging you today. God is challenging you today. Hallelujah. Amen. It's no more church. It's no more church. Oh, church may continue on, but I'm telling you, it's finished. It's done. It's fine. Huh? Was that right? Was that French? It's done. Zilch. Zero. Out. Hello? You know, it is something dead that is performing and don't know yet that is dead. You know, if you go over into the fifth chapter, the third chapter, I believe it's the third chapter of Revelation, second or third chapter, hallelujah, there is the church of Sardis. Hello? This is the church of Sardis. Hallelujah. It's the fifth station in the tabernacle. The fifth work of grace. It's the golden altar of incense. Hallelujah. And we have one of two choices. We can be like, present our bodies as living sacrifices, or we can turn around and go back out unto perdition. Hello? It is not that you just miss, not that you just don't make the right choice. It says, we are not of them. I've heard it at least three different times by three different people in three different meetings since we've been here. Three times. Hallelujah. That's the number of fullness. Four times his name now means tribulation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be tribulation people. We say, oh boy, here comes tribulation. Oh boy, you don't like that, do you? There's not one amen. Not one amen. We don't like tribulation. And brother, we think we're not going to be tribulated, but we are going to be tribulated. Great tribulation is coming where? Upon the face of the earth. That's global. Such tribulation that has never, ever, 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 ever been seen or known before. Hello? You are a tribulation people. You are a people that are supposed to stand in the midst of that tribulation and resist and rebuke and overcome the devil. Amen. Hello? Amen. But you do it with sackcloth. The two witness company had sackcloth. You ever put on burlap? Would any of you ladies ever buy burlap as a fashion? Huh? You know what burlap is? It's the sack that they put feed in. You buy your oats, that cloth sack, that woven sack, that buy your oats, your different types of seeds that's woven. Do they have that here? Huh? It's very hairy thread. It, huh? Uncomfortable. It is miserable. Make a shirt out of it, dear. Make a shirt out of it and wear it for one day. Just one day. You will break out in itching. It will chafe your skin. It will make you so uncomfortable and so miserable that you won't even wait a day to take it off. Hallelujah. Sackcloth is what the two witness company was ministering in. What do you think we're going to do? Just breeze through hell, hallelujah, slaying demons and devils and ruling and reigning and not having any kind of affliction or trouble or uncomfortable position? My goodness, brethren. Hallelujah. 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 We have to be a people who are willing to embrace tribulation. I once knew a person who wrote me a letter one time, and they were concerned. They were really worried about their experience, their position, and relationship with God. It seemed her tribulation had stopped. Would to God that we all had that mentality. Would to God that we had that thought. What can I do today to be tribulated? What can I do today to mess the devil's plan up? Oh yeah, brother, if you want to mess, you want to get tribulated, just mess the devil's plan up. If you're not being tribulated, you're not messing his plan up. Huh? Why should he throw rocks at you and you're not doing nothing? And if one of these people are doing something, going to save the rocks for them to throw at them. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want a goody-goody gospel. Lovey-dovey, honey-sweet. Huh? That's what we want. We don't want tribulation. Hello? We don't want to die to self. This message used to be called death to self. Now, am I the only one who remembers that? Am I the only one old enough to remember that we used to call it death to self? Huh? We call it death to self. That don't grow a lot of people. Mm-mm. Can you imagine a sign out here saying the church of death to self? Oh, come on. Come on. They don't get a lot of people. You know, when the first word came to our congregation of little people, It grew from 5 people to 75. No advertisement, no brochures, no word of mouth thing. We were very secret, very secret. It grew from 5 to 75 people. Hello? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. In my mother's home. In fact, the community got upset with us. Hello? People were doing things they shouldn't have done, parking on their driveways and down the curb. Cars were lined up all the way down the street. Hello? Hallelujah. 75 people in my mother's living room. Hallelujah. But the word came. The word came. This death to self message, this message of the tabernacle, of the brazen altar, the brazen laver, the golden candlestick, the table of showbread, and of course that little piece of furniture, seemingly insignificant, golden altar of incense. Hallelujah. You know what happened to the congregation? It started dwindling. Huh? It was like we had leprosy. Hallelujah. Dwindled. 75 down to 60. 60 down to 50. 50 down to 30. 30 down to 20. 20 down to 12. When we moved out of the house. Now we didn't have to move. We didn't have the same problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want you to tell you that out of that 12 and the 20 years that we had meetings in our home. Hello? That group turned over 3 times. You hear me? But out of each turnover, there were 1 or 2 that stuck. Hello? And they came and became a part of that next realm of our batch. And then some of those came out. And you know, there's some of those saints that are still standing. And they have stood for years in a very, very dry place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what we are being called to. This is the calling in the election that is upon our lives. It's not a place of grandiose and grandeur. That's what the idea of the 12 disciples. They thought that Jesus Christ was going to set them up in an earthly kingdom. Huh? Hello? It's a lie out of the pit of hell. This thing of organization and orchestration and organization. It is something that was programmed into humanity by the devil himself. Hello? Go back into Genesis chapter 3 when he was talking to the woman. He asked the woman, what is it that God has said? Huh? And he knew what God said. He was there. He heard it. Hello? Hallelujah. He said, well, we may eat of all the trees, but of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we cannot eat, at least that we partake of it, and the day that we partake of it, we shall die. What'd he say? Thou shalt not surely die. He called God a liar. Hello? Not only did he call God a liar, but he programmed the woman to think. Now the woman is indicative of the church. This is not women thinking, this is church theology. He programmed the woman to think in a particular way. She had to think in that way. She had to be programmed to program humanity. And her acceptance of the fruit and eating it sealed it, solidified it, and made it so. So she not only called God a liar, but she brought the uncertainty and the figment of our imaginations into play concerning God and His reality. Because you and I have to fight through that thought. Isn't that true? Or am I the only one that has to deal with it? Huh? God, are you really real? Have you ever asked God that? Huh? Oh my God, I've asked him a lot of times. And every time I have to recant and I have to rebuke that spirit. I have to go back to the beginning and rebuke the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in the aspect of what she did, with the thought of what it was the devil said, he says, "Ye shall be as gods." Knowing what? There's a correlation between knowing good and evil and what God says about the end time. Do you know what it is? It says, in that time, knowledge shall... What is it going to do? Increase. Have we ever lived, has the world ever been in a frame of mind as it is in today as far as the informational libraries that are open to us? Huh? Hallelujah. The technology that we are making such advances in medicine, in technology, and in the aspects of every form of our life. It's at a push of a button. You just push it, and all of a sudden, everything about that thing comes up on your screen. Hallelujah. Knowledge shall increase. Hello? Hallelujah. You go to school to get... Oh, here he goes again. You go to school to get knowledge. And you go, 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 and you go. And you turn around, look at the world, and you go back to school. Your knowledge, educationally, is not going to do for you what a relationship with Jesus Christ will do. Some of you are substituting education for God. And I am not against education. I educated my children. I encourage them to be educated. I see my grandchildren being educated. Hello? Hallelujah. I am not against education, but we are substituting education for spiritual reality of relationship. You can even now go to school to get your doctor of divinity. Not only can you get a doctor in divinity, you can get a master's in it. You're a master of doctor of divinity. Oh, really? Really? That makes you something like God, right? Oh, yes. You're fulfilling the prophecy. You shall be as God. It's a lie. It's a lie. And you know, I understand your culture. Believe me, you do. I understand the opportunities and the fact of what we want. And you know, we as parents are guilty in what we are pushing some of our children into without a concrete, solidified, bona fide, absolutely Word of God. Amen. I cannot encourage my children to do something without a Word of God. Hallelujah. I told my oldest granddaughter, one of my oldest granddaughters, she had finished her homeschooling education, got her diploma, and now she was looking at what she should do. And she came to me for advice. I says, "You really want to hear my advice? Are you sure you really want to hear it? Hello? Would you come asking me for advice?" She says, "Yes, Grandpa, I really want to know, and I appreciated that." I said, "Well, the first thing that you have to do before I say anything is go and pray." Hallelujah. Because I want you to hear from God. I don't want you to hear from Grandpa. I want you to hear from God. I am not your God. Hallelujah. We want to be gods to our children. We do. Oh, we want them to have all of the things that we didn't have. Brethren, I understand it. I understand it. I understand it. But that does not make it right. We want them to have everything that we did not have. And we have spoiled them. We have spoiled them. Oh, you young people aren't going to like me. We have spoiled them. They don't do chores at home. They don't have financial responsibilities at their home. They don't have the tenacity or the determination. They just want to go to school because you are pushing them into school. And they have help. They tell the maid to go do whatever it is that needs to be done. Hello? They can't dress themselves. They can't fold their own clothes. They can't iron them. They can't sweep under the bed. Hello? Maybe some of you can. If the shoe doesn't fit, don't try to put it on. We spoil them. Spoil them. You know, in my house, when my children were growing up, they had responsibilities. And the boys, as well as the girls, they had responsibilities. And one of the responsibilities that they all had to learn how to cook. All of them, boys and girls alike, they all had to learn how to cook. Hello? Not only did they have to learn how to cook, they had to learn how to plan meals for the whole day. And the other one had the responsibility of cleaning after the one that was making the mess. How many of you like to do that? I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Hello? And I don't want to be too hard on you. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Yes, there are some things you are doing. Yes, there are some things that you probably are incorporating. But there are other things that are majorly wrong in our oversight in the position of what it is that we are supposed to be disciplining them in. Hallelujah. Do we teach our children what we believe? I just come back from a little bit of child session over here. And you know, there's very little they know even about salvation. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Eze, I'll bring it up. He brought it up last night. I had a three-year-old. There were two of them, by the way. Two of them three-year-olds. Hallelujah. Two of them three-year-olds that I took to a conference with me. They weren't running around out there and running over here and running over there. They were sitting at Grandma and Grandpa's feet. Hello? They had their little blanket and they had their toys. But you know what? My wife, she does so well. When the Bible was being read, they would have to stop their playing. They would have to get up off the floor. They would have to get in my lap. They would have to get in her lap. And then they would get their Bibles out and I would point and read to them. And this was our practice. This is the thing that we were interested in. And both of those three-year-old girls got saved that night. Both of them. Hello? Hallelujah. That little three-year-old girl, I had beautiful blue eyes. I can still remember it. Little bitty thing now. It's like this. Hallelujah. She just reached her little arms up to me. Yeah. At the end of the meeting, just reached them up. And I just picked her up, put her in my lap, and she looked at me and she says, Grandpa, tears running down her face, I don't want to be naughty anymore. 3 years old. 3 years old. Hallelujah. And when we went back to our room, the second one, as I was tucking them into bed, and as I was leaning over to kiss him goodnight, this one puts her arms around my neck and she just holds on to me. And she says, oh, Grandpa, I want Jesus too. Amen. They were both born again. Hallelujah. And the evidence of that being born again is seen in their lives today. And it was grown up grandchildren that came to me and wanted to know what she was now supposed to be doing with her life. And I said, well, what is your interest? And she says, well, I want to be involved in missions. I said, well, you think that you should be? Well, I want to be. I said, okay, you go and pray, and I will go and pray, and we'll come back and talk with it. Hallelujah. Well, she came back to me, and she came back, well, Grandpa, I do want to be in missions, and I believe the Lord is calling me to that. And by the way, we are taking her on some of our trips as we go around the world. Hallelujah. Get her teeth wet, her feet wet. Hallelujah. As she decided to, they had this internet course in English that would ratify you as a teacher globally. It would give you a credential globally. It was an internationally recognized course, internet course, that would teach you how to teach English. She took it, she passed it, she's ready to go. Hallelujah. She's ready to go. Hallelujah. You young people, I don't know. Yeah, if you're to be in school, doing school, then go to school, be the best Christian student, God-fearing Christian student that you can be. But my God, be sure you have the direction of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble with the parents. Oh, yes, I will. You wait. Hallelujah. My children have to come to a place to make their own decision. There comes a place when I have to take my hands off of them. I have to back away from them. And that's not when they're 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 years of age. Hello? I know in the Spirit, by the Spirit, when to do it. Because every child was different. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, and you know, I don't know what it is about your professions and all of that, but some of the things that we do, we have to break ground. We can't say it's not our custom, or it's not that we just don't do that here. Hello?
Hi.
Hallelujah. We have to break ground. Now, in my situation, it was easier. You understand? I understand that. But that doesn't make your situation, that doesn't relieve you of your responsibility concerning your situation. Every one of my children had to learn how to be a carpenter. That's what I was. Did you hear me? Girls and boys. I would take them out. We were homeschooling, by the way, you know. And my job was on the job training. It was vocational training. That was my position. I was a professional of vocational training. On the job experience, I'd bring them out to my job. And if they did nothing more than pull nails out of boards. Hello? That's what they did. And they didn't just do it for an hour or two. They did it for the whole time frame of that day. That day was their day with Dad. Hello? Hallelujah. They had to learn how to hammer nails. They had to learn how to pull nails. They had to pick up the trash. Hello? Hallelujah. They'd come in and pick it up. I'd come in and saw boards and make it all a mess again. Hello? They'd have to come in and clean it up. Hello? Hallelujah. And you know, I have some sons that are some very good carpenters. And some of them are very good carpenters and they're very good at something else which they like to do better. Hello? But they know what I have. I gave them something in the aspect of virtue, of self-worth, of self-being, of being able to work with their hands and have confidence in themselves. The first time one of my sons put a wall together, we do wood. He stands back and looks at that wall, and boy, I tell you, he was very proud of it. Of course, the boards weren't quite right, you know. Some of them were this way, some of them were that way. He had missed some of the nailings on the bottom and the top. But, you know, when he got done, it was something that he did. He could see it with his eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We think that making money, is the secret to being happy, being content, being successful, being productive. Making money has nothing to do with it. Hello? We were talking about the widow of Zarephath. She had no money. And yet it was to her house that God sent the prophet. Hello? And she was probably the only house in all of the kingdom of Zarephath, hello, that had oil and bread. Hello? Isn't that right? Hello? Where would your PhD be then? Where would your master's degree be then? What would it do for you? Not that I am saying, brother, please don't misunderstand me. If God tells you, go get it, go get it. Work for it, get it, and be the best master person you can be. Praise the Lord. Somehow, some way, maybe God will utilize the technology or the knowledge that you have. But we have to have a word. You know, you want your children to be righteous, and then you take them, push them into a secular institution that teaches them to be unrighteous. The school system, whether Nigeria, Germany, European, or American, is not orchestrated by God. It is designed to eradicate the knowledge of God out of your children. Oh, you can tell me your Nigerian schools are different. Oh, no. You send them over to Ukraine. What are they going to learn in Ukraine? What are they going to learn over there in Hungary? What are they going to learn over there in some other country? What, if you send them to the United States, what are they going to learn in the United States? We, the people of the United States, are an independent and proud people. Huh? What's going to happen to them? You go into a classroom with a teacher. This man is a professor. He goes into a classroom and he teaches people. Ask him. Those people, those students, open their soul up to that teaching. And everything that is in that man, that is of that man, is overshadowing the minds of those children. It is a spiritual principle. It's a spiritual principle. Hallelujah. And you know, it's admirable what you're willing to do in order to make sure I'm not saying that you don't make sure of your children in that aspect. You don't want to be slack in that. But you have to have a word from God. We assume. We are guilty of assumption. Because it's the thing to do. It's the thing that everybody's doing. It's the thing to do to be success. I know a man who is at the top of a ladder who does not have one single letter after his name. And the people that have the letters after their name and have the degrees hanging on their wall are all knocking on his door for his counsel and advice concerning their business. Yeah. Never stepped inside of a college. Never stepped inside of a university. Hello? And yet God circumvented all of it to give him a blessing. And he does very, very well. Very well. We do not know God. And that is what God wants you to know. We do not know God. I do not know God. And God is telling me, get down to business with me. Get into your closet. Get to your place that is secret and find me. Touch the hem of my garment. Because there is an issue of blood that is draining out of you as a congregation of people that is terminal. It's terminal. And you know, the women didn't call for the doctor. It says that the physician had robbed her. Oh my God. And don't get, I'm not against the medical profession. It was the aspect of the reality of that religious bigotry. You know, recently, we were in California, and my wife was hit with double pneumonia. Hallelujah. And we were praying and looking to the Lord, and finally we decided we needed to take her to a clinic. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, it's so unrighteous. We walked into that clinic. She was there a day and a half in the hospital. I walked out of that clinic with a bill for $29,000. Wow. When you talk about the physician that robbed the woman, I'm telling you, I walked out of that hospital with a bill for $29,000. They handed to me, this is what you owe us. It was not even a full day and a half. Hello? Hallelujah. Ask people who go to these doctors and the things of what it costs them. Hallelujah. It's unrighteousness. It's wickedness personified. Hello? It's unrighteous. Hello? Hallelujah. I don't care what it is they do. It's unrighteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just took the bill and I went home with it and I put it on my desk. I said, God, that is your bill. I did. I prayed, you didn't heal. I did the next best thing. Now it's your bill. Hallelujah. I'm not picking it up again. Can you hear me? I am not picking it up again. That, as far as I'm concerned, God is taking care of it. And I'm telling you, God will take care of it. He will make sure that every penny of it is paid. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? I have a reputation as a Christian. Do you understand me? I can't walk into a hospital and tell them I'm Christian and walk out with a bill and not have it paid. Hello? No matter how unrighteous it is, I have a responsibility to portray, to profess, to testify, and to walk in a testimony that glorifies and exalts Him. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I said, this is your bill. God will pay it. I'm not worried about it. Hallelujah. And don't one of you send me a red nickel. Not for that. Don't send me one red nickel. I don't want it. God has already taken care of it. It's a done issue. Hello? Hello? Do you hear me? Not one red cent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to know this thing that we call God. Brother, I want to walk with Him. I want to talk with Him. I want to be like Adam in the garden. I want to be like Enoch walking down the lane with God. Hallelujah. I want to be like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, walking together, discussing the events of the day.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And some stranger comes along. You know, sometimes we may harbor angels, but sometimes I think we harbor the Son of Man as He is with us in a certain situation and begins to speak to us. We just don't recognize Him.
Yeah.
That tells you how much we don't know Him. They did not know Him. They should have recognized Him by the tone of His voice, the quality of scriptural knowledge that He had, the excellence of His information, the confidence that He had in what He would say. It says, did not our hearts burn within us?
Hallelujah.
We should be able to recognize the burning of the heart. We should be able to recognize the intensity of the thought and the feeling as God is speaking to us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need to rise up in the Spirit. We need to move in the strength of God. Hallelujah. You know, we are not to be people of a foreign nation. The house of God is not a foreign nation. Hallelujah. Anything and everything outside of the house of God is a foreign nation. Hello. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be putting on the mind of Christ. Not in the mind of Nigeria. Not in the mind of whatever it is that we are studying. Not in the mind of whatever it is of business that we are involved in. We are supposed to be putting on the mind of Christ. And that mind of Christ is concerned with one thing alone. One thing! And that is the business of God. The business of the Father. The business of what He is involved in. Hallelujah. 12 years old. 12 is the number of government. Jesus was in the temple. How many of you here are 12? Huh? Do I have any 12-year-olds? Hello? He was 12 years old. 12 years old. Hallelujah. And where was he? Out playing games with the other children, out there running errands and playing kickball. And was he struggling and arguing with his brothers and knocking somebody else around, trying to get preeminence? What was he doing at 12 years old? He was in the temple. How many of you are in the temple? Sitting down with God, sitting down with others, and discussing the Word of God. When was the last time that some of you young people have gone to your parents and said, Mom, Dad, tell me about God's business? Have you ever had that experience? Hallelujah. Has your children ever come to you and said, God, Dad, tell me about God. Tell me about your experience. Tell me about your relationship with Him. Tell me about how He is, what He is. What does He look like, Dad? Come on. Hello? What do your children talk to you about? What do they come to you? What are the questions they ask you about? Do they ask you about the business of God? Hello? Hallelujah. Our children should be asking us. Hello? They should be asking us. You know, I was so blessed. I had one of my grandsons come up and ask me a question I could not answer. I was blessed. I had a certain thought. I had a certain idea about a revelation that God was giving me. And this young man comes up to me. And he asked me a question. Hallelujah. I couldn't answer it. You know, I said, son, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm going to find out. And I want you to go pray. And if God speaks to you, you come tell me. Come on. Hallelujah. It was a legitimate question. You understand? Legitimate question. He asked me a legitimate question. I have to know the answer. And it was a check to me not to go any farther with that thought until I answered this question. Hello. That's what we should be teaching our children. This is the way our children should be responding to us. Hello. Hallelujah. Not about those things in the world. Those are important. Yes, let them come and ask me. But it is God. God, 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 God. Everything has to be God-orientated. Hallelujah. If you want to call me a God fanatic, yes, I am God fanatic. That's what my Bible says. Thou shalt be fanatic about God. Love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy strength, with all of thy might, with all of thy being. If that's not fanaticism, tell me what it is. Totally infatuated, totally, absolutely absorbed, totally, absolutely immersed. Oh my God, in God. Hallelujah. If we think that we are going to get anything from God outside of that, you and I will be mistaken. Hallelujah. Amen. The indictment against the New Testament church by the New Testament is that they did not know God. I want to know God. And it's going to cost me. It's going to cost me. Do you hear me? It's going to cost me. It's going to cost me everything that I hold dear. Hello?
Yeah.
It's going to cost my relationship. And I don't mean the disturbance and the breaking of it. I mean in the fellowship of it. You know, I love my grandchildren. But I got too many of them. I can't put them in my suitcase. Huh? Some of you have met my grandchildren. They're lovely children. Huh? Lovely children. Whether they're doing right or doing wrong, they're lovely children. And I love them. I love them. I love them. The way God must love me. Hello? I like being with them. I come in. I sit down in a chair. And I got 8 or 9 or 10 bodies always piling on top of me. I do. They hug me. They kiss me. They do all kinds of things with me. Hallelujah. And you know, I'm gone. I'm out the door. I'm home there for maybe 3 or 4 days, and then I'm gone. And I'm gone out on the road for weeks, for months, sometimes. Hello? I come home, and they've all grown up. I've missed something. In the aspect of my personal relationship with them, I missed something. Hello? It's a sacrifice on my part, believe you me, whether you want to believe it or not. My wife and I have to be apart on many different occasions. Don't think it isn't easy. Don't think it's something that we want to do. Don't think it's something we do just because we want to do it. Hello? There's a sacrifice that is required. There's a position or a place that you lay things on the altar. And when the fire of God is falling, you don't reach in to try to bring them back. Oh, no, don't want that on fire. Don't want... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, my wife is a blessing. She's an asset to me. She really is. She keeps me on the straight and narrow. Hello? Hallelujah. I can divvy up this way, divvy up that way, and she's right there, right there, right there. She's not harsh. She's not critical. She's not pushy. She's not corrosive. She's just loving and gentle and moves in a manner that's just so very difficult for me to resist.
Hallelujah.
Some of you ladies should learn from my wife. Hallelujah. 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 Brethren, we have to be more like God. We have to want God more. God has to be more intricately involved in our business. Well, let me scratch that one. We have to be more intricately involved in God's business. Whatever you are, whatever your status of life is, whatever your disposition is in the environment that you're in, you have to be more involved with God's business. This is His business. This is His business. Everything you need to know about God. You have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have the unction, the anointing. You have the omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God inside of you. It's inside of you. Inside of you. Hello? If you are born again, it's inside of you. The totality of what He is. Let us break it loose and let us flow with it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.